Hi, I'm JP with REITips.com, and this is Real Estate Investing Undressed. Guys, we're here today with a couple of guys named Eric Stark and Steve Mills of Michigan Property Superstore. And real quick, I met these guys through a good mutual friend of ours, found out a little about what they're doing in the arena of flipping houses, and kind of finagled my way into convincing them to get on the horn here with me and just share some of their goods, some of the innermost secrets, if you will, of what they're doing. Seriously, these guys are carving out six-figure profits, flipping and wholesaling houses in clearly one of history's worst markets or economies, and in one of the nation's worst real estate markets right there in Detroit, Michigan. So we're going to cover some of the key components of what it takes, in their opinion, to flip houses in volume in this market, how to justify as a wholesaler you can make so much darn money for just pushing paperwork around, essentially, and what these guys do to prepare for a day in the trenches out flipping houses in their arena. So, guys, fair warning here. I'm about to put you under the spotlight. I don't know if you've heard these things before, but my job is to extract from you and get you to spill the beans. So fair warning, okay?
We're up for the challenge.
Okay. Well, let's get started. And why don't we start, before we get into the tactical arena, with just a little of your history. How long have you guys been in the real estate business? How and where did you get your start, real quick?
This is Eric from Partnership Michigan Property. I've been investing full-time as a real estate investor for 3 years. Steve and I have actually been doing, we teamed up as a partnership just under a year ago. And ever since then, we've just been closing deals like crazy. But I did get my start as an intern for another investment company, and things kind of worked out well, and then they just went sideways, and me and Steve partnered up, and it's been history ever since.
All right. What about you, Steve?
Same thing. I mean, me and Eric have always been friends since we were younger, and it was something where we had a few gentlemen around us that got in the business of real estate investing right around 2005 when the market seemed or 2006 when the market seemed to kind of tank. And what we did is like Eric said, we kind of joined them as an internship. We were kind of slaves to their company, but it was in a good way because it kind of taught us, you know, how to really go out there and not think about getting paid every day, but you got to kind of build the business. And it was something where I was a real estate agent. I kind of had Eric join me in my company. I was a very bad real estate agent. I was very horrible at listing, but I seemed to have the knack for wanting to buy property and to be able to sit down with buyers and sellers and lenders. And it kind of went from there. And we actually heard of a book. It was from Steve Cook, actually, How to Wholesale Houses for Cash or something, Fast Cash. And that was kind of set the tone for our wholesaling empire.
Yeah, it's a good little book. You guys know Steve is a friend of mine, and definitely can't recommend that highly enough. This was, you said, what, 2006 when you guys partnered up? Is that right?
Yeah, we partnered up as realtors, kind of, and you know, had a vision of wanting to be real estate investors.
Okay, now your market is pretty unique there in that it sucks, and it has for a long time. Now, a lot of people's markets really stink right now, but, I mean, yours was really pretty stinky when everybody else was going through their boom. So it might be helpful for, you know, because people are going to be listening to this in completely different markets. So give me a beat on where your market was at that time when you guys first started getting your feet into this business as investors, when you first partnered up, and then I'm going to follow that with where it is today in comparison and how it sizes up.
Okay, for instance, we did our first deal as partners as a wholesale back in March of 2008, and it was actually on a property that was on the MLS, and it was a local agent that I knew kind of found the deal for us, but it was the latter part or the early part of last year, and the market was, it just started kind of tanking, and it was something where we seen where the market was dipping. We just had no idea how far the fall was going to be as far as value, because we did want to hold on to some rentals. We kind of had in our heads that one day we'll be, you know, big shot landlords, and quickly found out that a property we bought this month, if you waited 60 days, it would be, you know, another 10, 15, 20% less in value. So I would say the beginning part of 07 and 08 is when it really started tanking in our area. And that's when we knew that, hey, either we got to turn this thing into kind of a wholesaling business where we can sell these things to rehabbers and let them fix them up and sell them, because this market is steadily declining. And that's kind of what forced us into the thought of being a wholesaler, because before it was just kind of, you know, a lot of people were doing lease options and stuff like that. It just ran out in our market. There was no equity left. So it kind of forced us to be wholesalers as far as the bank foreclosures, because they were doing, you know, that's 90% of our business is bank foreclosures.
Okay. Eric, would you add anything to that?
No, he's pretty dead on to where our market is. I mean, it has consistently dropped for the past few years. But, yeah, we instantly noticed an opportunity to pick up these properties in a declining market and then to sell them off to other cash investors. So there was a huge opportunity for that.
So as wholesalers, most of your buyers are who? Describe their demographic. What kind of person are they?
Normally the ones that we really enjoy selling to are the landlords. I mean, because we are in a really heavily leveraged bank-owned industry. Everything's foreclosures, so it's something that a lot of the investors or a lot of the actual buyers out there happen to be landlords. So our main target market would be landlords are usually higher income earners, or they're just professional real estate investors, and that's the one we really tend to sell 80% of our properties to, is the landlord market, because they are the ones out here buying and seeking these deals, and sometimes they're too busy, and that's all we have pretty much is time, and that's how we really got in this market, is really just getting to know it and kind of going to the landlord saying, hey, what do you guys look for? And we went out there and just did exactly what they wanted and brought it to them.
Okay. What right now, and tell me if it's changed from when you got in the market, but right now, what is your average home price in the area there?
The average price of a property would be right around $120,000 to $150,000. This is kind of the first-time home buyer market. Everything in that range has dropped to about $70,000 to $90,000 right now, so it has depreciated. But mainly the rental market, which happens to be the low-end side of it, where some of the properties used to be $30,000 and $40,000, these properties are now $5,000 to $15,000. So that's, you know, the bread and butter of our business is on the lower end. We kind of call it commodity housing, what people look for as for rental-grade real estate, and that's mainly our major market.
Okay, so typically, now you're saying the prices for the average home dropped to like $70,000, $80,000. Are you talking about that's what it would appraise for right now in today's market, and what kind of house would you be describing, like a 3-2, 1,200 square feet, or how would you describe
it? Yeah, like your typical three-bedroom brick ranch on a basement with 2.5-car garage or a 2-car garage. In our normal market would normally be anywhere from $120,000 to $150,000. When we do buy these properties and remodel them and sell them retail, we are selling them for right around $90,000. So that was something that, you know, used to sell for $125,000 to $150,000. We're now selling gorgeously fixed up for $90,000. You know, some of our clients, or if we do a rehab as well. But, you know, that was the market that we really seen the big dip in, is the first-time home buyer market.
All right, Eric, were you going to say something there?
It kind of goes back to the, you know, to who the demographics of our buyer is. I've actually located in and focused on a really good niche that me and Steve have put together up here. You know, with financing being so difficult, we do wholetail a house every so often. I'm sure the listeners know what a wholetail deal is. But we have kind of found a creative niche with financing be so difficult. You know, these young people my age and, you know, right around here, they're looking to buy a house and they just can't qualify for financing. So, you know, there's a lot of cases when mom or dad or grandma and grandpa have quite a bit of money in a 401k or a savings account that's only earning a couple percent. What they will actually do, and we've actually turned this into we've had quite a few sales that we've done recently to where, you know, they would go to grandma and say, hey, I found a house that I want. Why don't you buy this cash for me? Then sell it back to me on a land contract. So we really have carved out a very good niche in that and kind of marketed to some of those buyers, you know, where the younger crowd can get in, pay cash for the home, and then just, you know, buy it back from their parents.
Okay, so let me just reflect that back to you, make sure I'm understanding. You're saying that this niche you're describing is one where the first-time home buyer is challenged in qualifying for it, but they're interested, and you're presenting them with a way to get into the house by having their parents buy it and then owner finance it to them? Did I get you right?
Yes. Yes.
Huh, that's pretty interesting. I'd be interested to I don't want to go there yet, but I'd be interested to hear how you tapped into that market specifically, how you got into it. Because, I mean, it makes good logical sense, but it takes a little bit of outside-of-the-box thinking, so I'm sure you got to present that message to the right crowd.
Absolutely.
But before we go there, let me think here. right now, you're saying that you're picking up a lot of your buyers, the ones who aren't fitting the mold you just described, are landlords, right? You're at least a certain healthy number of them. You're dealing with people who are buying keepers in the area there. I'm curious to know, and you're picking up houses for anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000. You're mostly, if I'm understanding, not doing renovations to those. You're selling them as is to those landlords, or are you doing kind of a basic renovation at all?
Some of the properties we will go in and spend, you know, say it had some water damage or stuff like that. We really pick those properties because there's sometimes the normal landlords right now, they're buying a lot of clean stuff because we have so many foreclosures in our market. They're tending to switch up. It's not your typical guy that used to, you know, bring me the house that needs the most work because I can get the biggest discount. You can get big discounts on clean ones, but we're also seeing a tremendous discount on the dirty home. What we'll do is, like Eric said, it's kind of called wholesale. We wholesale to the retail market, but we also do it to the landlords where we'll clean out the basement. We'll, put some industrial enamel on the floor. We'll kill the basement walls. We'll just clean the home and make it look presentable. We won't do major rehab, but we will do some cosmetic stuff where it kind of helps out because you're presenting a cleaner product that you bought for grossly underpriced. You're spending a few thousand to get it up to where, that market where those investors will pay attention again.
Okay, so I believe the terminology that Bob Norton likes to use for that is splash and dash.
right. Kind of just hit it and, get out and get out, or get in and get out.
right. But it does require you as a wholesaler or wholetailer, if you will, which for those who haven't heard that term, it's just, like you said, it's kind of wholesaling to a retail buyer. It does mean that you got to close on the house. You know, you're not flipping the contract. You're not assigning the contract. You're not doing a double closing. You've got to close on it for a few days there to be able to get your splash and dash out of the way and get it flipped, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, one question I have is, in a market like yours where the values are so squirrely and low, really, I mean, there's people listening to this who can hardly believe that you can pick up a house that's standing that has walls for $5,000 to $15,000. But I know you can do it out there. You can do it in Memphis in some neighborhoods, but it's even a bigger opportunity out there. There's people in California who that's just, that blows their mind. They can't even think of it. Local guys, local landlords, they're aware of that. How are you selling your services as a wholesaler or a wholetailer to them? How are you of value to them, and how are you addressing, their concern of, well, I can find these things a dime a dozen myself. Why do I need you?
Right. The number one thing is, I said a little bit earlier, was time. And what we do is we really look for these investors who are really leveraged in this industry where they're ready to buy. They're ready to, either they're wealthy individuals before, or they just got the bug and they know they want to get in real estate and buy some rentals, but they could be full-time employees at another job or run their own business. And one thing, like I said, is in the beginning we had a lot of time. So a lot of individuals, us having time and not them having that much time, brings value because it means that we are constantly hitting the streets and buying these properties. And typically when we buy these properties, we create a new low standard for the area. So if everything's selling for $25,000, say, like a three-bedroom brick bungalow, we tend to get that property for right around $10,000 to $14,000, and we kind of create a new low. So these guys know when they buy from us, they're still buying about, $2,000 to $5,000 below next month's pricing. So what's good is what we have is we've bought in volume from a lot of the local banks and the local the REO brokers in the area. They are just coming to us and saying, hey, close on this house. You can get it for this price or just give me an offer. And that's one thing we found, since we buy so much, these brokers give us new properties at unbelievable deals. So even the landlords are like, wow, I know I can get this deal, but it will take me some time. And that's one thing we always say, you're paying for our contacts and our relationships, but you're also paying, for our time hitting these streets and, really pulling your hair out doing what we do, because it is a job sometimes. But that's what we do. We create time for these landlords, and they really respect that about us.
Okay. So it's a factor of saving them time. Also, what I'm hearing you say is that you're providing them, because you're out there aggressively mixing it up, maybe to the extent that they're unwilling to because of their limited time or because of their lifestyle, you're able to actually get better deals. So, you know, at least partially the answer to the question is a lot of times they're getting as good a deal as they would get without you, if not better.
Exactly. And one thing that is very powerful, JP, that we do market for and bring to the table is we're known around here from some investors as the guys that can close houses out in 48 hours. We have a title company that is just a beautiful company to work with. They do all of our transactions, and if we hand them a purchase agreement, they can have that deal closed out within 24 to 48 hours. And that's something that a lot of these investors, I'm sure you know in the bank-owned industry, you deal with a lot of offers, multiple offers, highest and best, offers getting accepted, then upper management declining the offers because it's just too low. We have these deals already pre-negotiated, ready to go, and we'll close in 48 hours just to make earnest money. So they really love our speed because in this market you need speed.
All right. Here's a question. Have you guys ever seen Napoleon Dynamite?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, good. I know there's some people who heard you describe your title company relationship there, and they said, "Lucky."
Right.
But here's the thing. I want to emphasize this because I know that line of thinking. The fact of the matter is, when you got started, tell me if I'm wrong, you probably didn't have that relationship. You weren't nearly as lucky as people probably think. But this is a relationship business, and those title companies exist, you know, anywhere. But you have to find them. You have to get out there and develop those relationships, and you have to do it proactively and not expect it to fall into your lap. Am I right? I mean, you guys, did the stars align all at once for you in that regard, or did you have to kind of earn your stripes and build those things?
It was something where we thought there was a magical formula, but I'm being honest, JP, when we started getting so busy with buying more properties and finding private lenders for our properties, it kind of fell out of our brains that, you know, we used to really second-guess ourselves out of everything. And, you know, to a lot of the newer wholesalers out there, stop thinking so much, because when you just start acting, we started doing deals, and it's odd, but the title company found us. You know, they came to us and said, "Hey, you know, this is our plan with you guys. You're bringing us a lot of business. This is what we can do to make everything better with us." And it kind of clicked in our head. We're like, wow, you know, people are coming after us now. You know, when we went out there before, we might not have been as leveraged, but now it's starting to help us because we are known in the industry as the guy that can close. Title companies really love that because one thing about this market, JP, is Detroit is very depressed right now. And just by us giving business to the same company every time helps our business, but it also helps other local businesses, and that's very important in our market, is to help everybody, because without them, we couldn't close as fast, but without us, they couldn't do as many closings. So it's kind of, you know, you scratch our back, we scratch yours, and it works out beautiful for everyone.
You know, that there's a really strong tip there that's worth illuminating, and that is, you know, you said it twice now, you guys are kind of getting known, or you already are known as the guys that can close. And I would encourage you to that's a hook. That's a real hook. And even if there's other people who are just as reliable at closing, building kind of almost a brand around that idea, right? I mean, that's very benefit-driven from other people's perspective. You know, it's a source of frustration from other players out there in the industry, you know, REO brokers and things like that. I can see it on business cards. I can see it on your website. I would say anything you can do to capitalize on that statement and make that your brand, that would be awesome.
Exactly. It's a huge benefit. I mean, it's like we were saying, it's something where we kind of forgot about trying to impress everybody. We just got really busy, and that's when it clicked a little easier, where it's like, hey, you know, just do what you say. And if you do what you say, a lot of people are attracted to that because, you know, I'm sure you know, Dave, in real estate, there is a lot of people, but there's also some very good individuals that don't talk a lot, and it's usually them that deliver on everything, and we enjoy that.
Right. All right, let's shift gears here for a second and focus on how you're buying properties. There's no shortage of listings right now to look at. I'm assuming that you're probably focused in on one or a few different strategies, but probably not trying everything. So what are you focused in terms of acquisition today?
Well, our main strategy right now, we really hit the bank foreclosure industry hard because, you know, there's no sense in, I mean, I've learned it from a lot of you guys as far as going for the low-hanging fruit. And the best part about it is there's so many foreclosures. But what we really did is we networked ourselves with a lot of the brokers in the area. And like we said, by us just being the individuals that close, we also, they tend to bring a lot of their properties to us, where a lot of other individuals normally just write a lot of offers. They kind of contact us and say, hey, you know, my asset management company is looking for this number. Can you guys come in? So what it is, even though we created a niche for us as the buy guys and we can close really quick, these banks really appreciate the fact that we can assemble a deal so fast because we do have the funds in order, and we are more organized. And just being organized really gets us a lot of the upper hand in this market.
All right. Eric, what would you add to that?
Exactly what Steve said. I mean, it's right along those lines. I mean, one thing I focus for as far as deal-wise, I'm a guy who spends a little bit of time on the MLS. I'm constantly searching for deals. I mean, we do have a lot of different people, brokers and agents, bringing us deals every single day, but I spend quite a bit of time on the MLS. And one thing that I do is I search for loopholes in the MLS. I mean, you know, one thing that we did when we first got into the business, I spent a lot of time looking at properties that were pending on the market, and I look at it and I say, man, this thing went pending on the first day, and this was over 3 months ago. Why has this thing not closed yet? You know, and it kind of reverts back to the story that some offers get put in, some don't. What's going on with this deal? So I called this office, and I just said, hey, what is going on with this deal? And they said, well, the investor backed out. We're trying to get everything cleared up. We're trying to work everything out and get this guy to come back on. And I said, well, is the offer still standing with this company? I mean, is it something where I can just put my offer in place and close on it? Because this is a great deal. And, you know, believe it or not, I had spoke to the assistant, and the broker ended up calling me back within 1 hour, and he said, if you want this deal and you can close on Friday, this is your deal. You have it. I mean, this was a fantastic deal. It was already negotiated. All we had to do was jump in place. And you know, another thing I look for is, you know, when you show me a property online and you tell me that it's got a basement in an area that generally doesn't have basements or vice versa, I pretty much know that that's a loophole in the listing system and that a lot of people are just going to look over it. Because they're like, oh, I don't want to buy it if it doesn't have a basement. Well, I usually know a little bit better, and I say, I'm going right out to that house because I know that there's a basement in that neighborhood. So we'll go over, we'll take a look at it. I'll get in touch with the agent and say, I'm absolutely interested in it. So I look for the loopholes.
Okay, so just to reflect back, Steve, I'm hearing you say that you guys focus on a lot of REOs because there is a glut of REOs. You're doing a lot of bank foreclosures, and Eric, you're saying, in addition to that, you also specifically have targeted, you're kind of mining diamonds out of the MLS that are being overlooked because of oversights of some sort, or, you know, somebody printing something wrong or checking the wrong box when they're listing it, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
All right.
By us having a lot of agents out there working for us as well, we have some buyers agents that do write offers for us, but we have a select few of individuals that are kind of our partners. We actually created partners out of some realtors because a lot of realtors are investors as well. And, you know, there's a lot of agents that bring us deals because they know that they're in the office with a large REO broker. And let's just admit it, there's so many of these foreclosures. A lot of these brokers are either misinputting information, like Eric said, or they're just putting the wrong numbers. So, like Eric said, we really look for those loopholes. And we also look at everything. I mean, it was something that I didn't believe before, but if you look at 30 properties per week, you are going to be above so many other investors out there as far as knowledge, pricing, and you know, the quality of the properties you're looking for, because it's just one thing a lot of agents don't do. They're very busy or just don't want to get up unless they know they're getting paid. And that's where we just say, you know what, if I get out there and as long as I'm in the running as many houses, it's a numbers game. We are going to get a deal. So we pride ourselves on always being in the running on everything.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome. And I just thought of titles for each of you. You want to hear them? We've got Eric, the MLS sniper. And we've got Steve, the REO shotgun. The REO shotgun and the MLS sniper. Okay, I know I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot here, and we probably should have done this at the very beginning of the interview, but it didn't occur to me until now. But just to give people an idea of what you are realistically able to accomplish in today's squirrely real estate arena in one of the worst markets in the country, what kind of volume are you doing? What kind of profits are you seeing? You know, we alluded to it earlier. We talked about six-figure earnings, but Can you crystallize that and just kind of give us a snapshot into what's possible in terms of what you're accomplishing right now?
Okay. This is Steve. I'm going to kind of speak for us both on it, because I know, and Eric, when I heard you say that we make six-figure profits, I just want to let everyone know we do not sell $10,000 houses for $110,000 and make $100,000 per deal. We would love that, but we have made over six figures, multiple six figures, doing what we do. And just to give you a snapshot of how many properties we are buying, how many we're selling per month, it's typically right now, this year has been a lot busier, but we are buying about 7 to 10 properties per month. We're usually selling the same amount of volume every single month. And in our typical wholesale, which is, it's hard to believe for a lot of people, but we do make typically about $6,000 to $15,000 per deal. I know it's a big window, but it's, you know, it does fluctuate because we do buy some a little bit more expensive properties that are cleaner, and we sell them on the retail market, and we do make those bigger profits, anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 as well. So we do about 7 to 10 deals a month, and we typically try to sell every single one of them. So it's something where in our market, we are consistently buying anywhere from 7 to 10 properties per month, and we are making consistently $6,000 to $15,000 per deal as far as wholesales go on these deals.
Okay, and I just did the math, and that means that if we take the conservative numbers, you know, we say seven deals at a $6,000 profit apiece, which I know you're making more on a lot of them, but just taking the conservative numbers, then we're talking somewhere in the 40, 42, 45, maybe up, maybe on a good month, upwards of $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in a month.
Yes, we. I mean, it's something, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but we are building our business. So on every deal that we do, we've had some, you know, $4,000 months, but we've also had some, like this month, we're looking at right around $59,000 in profits bringing in this month. So, but we do have a lot of overhead where it helps us out, because one thing that we've learned from actually you and Steve Cook out of his book, and I cannot stress this anymore how much it has helped our business, we don't just pay referral fees of $500. I know there's a lot of investors out there who give Bird Dogs $500. If we're making $10,000, you better believe you're making five of it, because something that where it's very easy for us to take 50% of the deal and do less work. So even though we are bringing in a lot of money per month, we do pay out a lot in referral fees, because that is what helps our army, or me and Eric, Brian, sell what we have, because let's just face it, you know, I know you've worked with some individuals who've wholesaled volume, and you don't have a life, you know, so it's something that we leverage ourselves. We pay very good referral fees, and it really helps.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I can tell you, it takes a mindset shift to stop thinking, you know, what's the least I can get away with paying this person to make them happy for sending me this deal, and instead to look at the big picture and say, how much can I pay them to make them hungry to bring me the very best deals? I mean, the difference there is pretty obvious when you state it that way, but still most of us tend to gravitate towards looking, you know, narrowly at just what's going on with that one deal and how to extract as much money as possible out of that one deal. So that's a huge tip. I appreciate you bringing that out.
Definitely. Because, I mean, I just don't want it to be out there that we make, you know, $1 million a year, because, let's face it, hopefully we will, but we pay out very generously because we believe that, you know, by us helping everyone else in this area, you know, you're creating income for a lot of people who are hurting in this market, and some of our Bird Dogs have never knew what the heck real estate or a foreclosure was until they met us, and it really, you know, sounds kind of cheesy, but, we like it. It makes us feel good that we're actually being able to help people in Michigan, because like you said, let's face it, it sucks here.